I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now,
hey guys!
Hey everyone.
Hello, everybody!
Welcome to the Lock and Key After Show. Tonight we're getting into Season 1, Episode 5, Family Tree. Tonight we're going to get into Kinsey's crazy behavior, Rendell's secrets, our special segment, news and gossip, and predictions. But I'm your moderator, Princess, and I'm a big fan of just kids taking the lead in any form or action. And then over to my left, I also have Janice, who is our Darby Stanchfield fan.
Hey, everyone. How are you doing? I'm so excited to be here.
And over to her left, we also have Lauren, who
Hello.
Is our man on a journey.
That's right. And I used to have locks in my hair when I had hair.
I need to see photo evidence of that.
Oh, I'll show them. I got a couple.
Princess does not believe it.
We'll open up.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's on my Friendster account. But way before MySpace even.
I never heard of
All right, we'll talk afterwards.
All right, guys. So what did you guys think of tonight's episode, especially given memories? What did you guys think?
Well, you know what? We had two different kisses in this episode. We had Jackie and Tyler who smooched. And then we also had Kinsey and Scott with a quick little kiss. Mm-hmm. Kinsey's really finding herself comfortable in her fearless shoes. She's kind of going a little bit further than Tyler wanted. So
she's going rogue. She even told Tyler, "You're not my parent."
I
almost died laughing from that because you guys know the meme that says, "I'm not your dad." You know, "You're not my dad."
I thought it was a little weird. She said, "You're not my parent."
Parent.
Whatever.
But I felt like this episode was very packed with a lot of things going on for each character. Overall, it was really good. I was very shocked at the end. Mm. I did not expect Joe to be gone so soon.
Yeah.
So that's definitely sad for me.
Yeah. I am not sure how I feel about who this new Kinsey is and who she's becoming. And I love to just dive into that a little bit more. So at the beginning of the episode, we see that for the first time, she and Taylor find a key on their own without Bodhi. Mm-hmm. And they get exposed to the music box key, which lets you control who you want to. But it only is the only person that can control it is the holder of the key, mm-hmm. which was Kinsey.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw her kind of take advantage and use it for evil. What did you guys think of that?
I didn't see that coming, honestly, because Kinsey has been pretty nice before. Like, this is, like, her first big, like, rogue moment. But I felt like she used the excuse of getting revenge for Scott for... She used that as, like, an excuse to, you know, play with the keys and, like, mm-hmm. do something evil. I don't think she actually cared about Scott that much. Because even when Scott was like, "Oh, you know, I'm good," like, she was like, "Nah, this is like, feeding me in some kind of way." Which I thought was pretty weird and... very unlike her.
There's a couple times when you've kind of said you don't think that she's into Scott or Scott's not into her or both.
I mean, why do you guys think she continued doing it?
I think that it really was never about Scott. Yeah. I mean, she mm-hmm. has a bone to pick with Eden anyway, and I think we all kind of do because she's kind of a mean girl. Mm. But I don't think it was about Scott. I think that was just the excuse that she needed.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I think she wanted to find a way. I mean, she even walked after Eden after they had that little discussion that heated. Well, it wasn't really a heated discussion, but she made some really cruel remarks to Scott, so... I think it was just the excuse.
One of the things that Kinsey had said to Tyler right after she said, "You're not my parent," she said, "It's too bad you're still a slave to your own fear."
Mm-hmm.
And so that really was telling about what she was going to do with this new persona without fear. And I think revenge became a lot easier because normally we have things in our brain that tell us to stop, wait, and think. Sometimes we react, sometimes we think about it. So I do think she likes Scott, but now there's this thing with Gabe in the forest where they kind of had that moment, which makes me wonder, what is she after, not just who is she after?
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
I kind of wonder now that she's fearless, and because she's fearless, she's also become a little irrational. I wonder if she's just going to become the type that just goes after whatever and whomever she wants. Mm. Do you guys think that she could become, I don't know if a villain is a too strong of a word, but do you guys think that she could become kind of an antagonist for the group in a way? Could she become this evil queen?
I honestly don't think so. I feel like she might get herself into trouble with the keys. Maybe she might hurt someone and then she's going to like, discover that, you know, her fear is actually needed. Mm-hmm. And she's going to try to get it back after she hurts someone. Maybe she might hurt Bodhi and she's like, oh my God, you know, this isn't like all fun and games.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see her becoming like this big bad character.
Interesting. Okay.
And I'm still processing in my mind what you just said, and it's definitely a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess time will tell. Time will tell. But our other couple on the show that are for sure into each other. So we have Tyler and Jackie. They shared their first kiss. Yeah. It was a very tender moment. Yeah.
I see chemistry between those two. Like,
yes.
Jackie is very caring. She's very nurturing. And I feel like Tyler definitely needs that. And he's just like, oh my God, I love this girl. And I can see that connection between them. But for some reason, I just don't see between Scott and Kenzie at all. I'm just like, you guys are friends. Like, this kissing is just like, I guess, a bonus. But
is it because Scott is so bad at making moves? And Jackie's a lot better.
That's a very good point. Maybe he's just not a player in that way.
Do you roll your eyes when you see Scott make a move?
Because he's just very playful. Maybe that's the factor.
I found myself cringing at some of his jokes. Like, oh, Scott, but you're so young and it's so cute. But if I were in high school, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I might have been kind of a nerdy film guy like that in school and... Nobody ever said, hey, Lauren, that's cute.
But, you're married now.
Yes, but I am married.
Let's not just discount nerds as, you know.
I love Barry Allen
on The Flash. He's like a really nerdy guy. Yeah. Like, I can see some romance between him and like the main interest on that show.
But I definitely know that boys mature a lot slower, at least in school, than girls. And girls become women long before boys become men.
That's true.
And so I can definitely see the female perspective of, like, is this what I want? If Kinsey knows what she wants, perhaps Scott is not it. Perhaps she's using his nerdiness just for her own benefit. And so, boy, now when that ties into the possibility of if Kinsey becomes more of an antagonist in the show, that would be crazy.
I feel like Gabe is definitely encouraging her bad side. And I see her down the line maybe flirting with him and maybe taking it a little bit too far to maybe get Scott jealous or something. Like, I see some, you know, feelings between her and Gabe.
But do you think Gabe could have an ulterior motive now that he's seen the magic, which I do want to get into as well, because slowly but surely it's getting out there.
I mean, from what we saw during the whole scene where Eden was getting manipulated and, you know, puppeteered, Gabe wasn't, you know, he wasn't very moral in his decision to, you know, stop Kinsey. He was like, let's just keep this going, you know. I feel like he's going to be the one to push her to go that extra mile and, you know, do something horrible.
Maybe another villain in the making.
I think so.
Do you smell trouble as well, Lauren, or is it just too early to tell?
Between who? Gabe specifically?
Gabe, yeah.
Kinsey.
Again, you're bringing up things my brain, since we just watched the episode, my brain is in acceptance mode. So whatever you're saying, I'm like, oh, what?
Yeah.
So.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, before we move on to our next segment, Ms. Janice, do you have a message for our fans?
Yes, I do. We want to thank you guys so much for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. We want you guys to check us out on YouTube, where we record shows every single day, and also on podcast apps that you listen to, like iTunes and iHeartRadio. Leave us ratings on there. Give us 5 stars if you like us. And, you know, comment and interact with us, because we like to hear what you have to say. And also, I love AfterBuzz because it's allowed me to make really cool friends and, you know, talk about TV every day of every week. So I'm definitely happy to be here. And we want you guys to join in the comments. Tell us what you're thinking and maybe we might read your comment on the air.
Maybe. And also our YouTube reply on there. Put some comments and thoughts. Yeah. I'll respond to
reading,
those.
Guys.
Yeah, so. We are.
Thank you, guys. All right. So the mic drop of the night, Nina. Ellie. Let's start it. Let's take it from the top. So Nina notices that Ellie has a scar that is identical to that of her dead husband.
Yeah. Randall.
Yeah. So she starts kind of moving along that path and we start seeing, oh, wow, there really is more to Ellie's story. What do you guys think? I know, Janice, you thought that might be a keyhole.
Yeah, because at the beginning of the season, in the first episode, the first person we meet, whose name I don't have right here, but the guy who plucked the key into his chest, that kind of looked like, that kind of looked like a keyhole, right? Like when he put the keys in his chest. So I was thinking, maybe everyone in that friend group had used that key before. I don't know what key it was, but I just thought it was a keyhole. I don't know.
Now, one of the things is we have different levels of how much we're familiar with the comic book series versus the TV series. And there are a list of keys out there for the comic series. But also what's interesting is the producers of the Netflix show are using the keys in slightly different ways. Mm-hmm. And so what that key might be used for in the comics may be the same. It might be slightly different. So that's kind of what's interesting. If our viewers read all of the comic books, they know what the keys do, and now they're seeing them used in a different way. I'm wondering if the fans out there are angry that the TV show is using them in a different way, or if you're excited to see them, because it does change the storyline.
Yeah, I'd like to know that's that true. As well.
With Walking Dead, which started out as a huge comic book over many, many series, same kind of thing is people would watch the show having read the comics and been like, oh, wait a minute, what happened to this storyline?
Right.
But then they've extended it so much for TV. So that's what I'm really curious if that key is the same one. And I just don't want to give away too much.
Yeah, maybe in the coming seasons they're going to, you know, give a call out to what the keys do in the comic books. I don't know. Because I see the show going on for many, many seasons. So maybe that's something they're thinking about. I guess if I was a comic book reader, personally, I wouldn't want to see just exactly the same thing being played out on screen, you know. It's nice to keep things refreshed and, you know, interesting. So I don't know. I'm really curious to hear what they have to say about
and
that.
And writers
as well.
Take liberties, too. Sometimes it's you add a little bit just to push the story along. So sometimes it's like, okay, we have this hole. How can we fill it? You know, or how can we adapt this for the television screen? Because it might work in the graphic novel, but not so much for TV.
Like the music box key, for example, in the comic series, that opens up the box and plays a song, and the person has to follow the lyrics. Here, that didn't work that way. And we could think, you know, in production-wise, well, boy, trying to pay the licensing rights for a famous song and hearing the lyrics would be expensive when they can just say, well, what if we make it whatever you say with the box open you have to do?
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point. So we see Ellie low-key break into the key house.
Yeah.
we find her just snooping around, making noise. Nina is about to go all in and, you know, have an episode on her own. But what do you guys think that she was looking for? Do you think that she was looking for a key, perhaps? Or, I don't know, what are you guys' thoughts?
Was she go in the room when they found that secret room? I'm wondering if that door led to where that room was.
And if so, pool room?
The pool room, because there were shelves of things. And I remember Ellie kind of glancing around.
Yeah.
So
she looked like she was looking for something specific.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she was looking for a key. I don't know what key she was looking for. Maybe the kids already found the key she was looking for. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I felt like Nina reacted very calmly to Ellie breaking into her house. She was like smiling like, oh my God, Ellie, you're in my house. I was like, no, you should like call the cops. Like, this is not normal. You shouldn't find someone in your house.
I mean, she did kind of, you know, set her straight like, hey girl, this is a little weird.
I would freak out. Like, nah. I would just lose all trust for her, which she did lose trust. So
now you've seen Nina or the actress on another show, right?
Yeah.
Did she play that character the same way, kind of undertone, very quiet and mellow?
No, she was very, in Scandal, she was very, like, cutthroat and, like, she was really evil.
Got it. Okay,
yeah, she's very nice in this show.
She's a good actress.
Very different.
So she's approaching it a different way.
I think Nina as a character is just very mellow. So that's just her character, probably.
Understated.
Yeah. Well, speaking of understated, so Joe, who I actually liked, he gave me this cool Danny Glover vibe. R.I.P. Joel. He's now dead. He called Nina. It seemed like there was something that he discovered and he wanted to loop her into. But we get there and find out he is dead. He's gone. Do you guys think that he was trying to protect Nina in the conversation he had earlier with her in the episode? Or, I mean, has he been kind of a guardian angel? How do you guys feel about him?
That's a great word, guardian angel. Kind of taking over for Randell with Tyler. Mm. But him being in front of the computer makes me wonder if he was on the computer specifically, the thing that he found, and what the thing might have been. Obviously, he knew something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You think it was related to the cave situation?
Everything seems to be related to the cave.
Fair enough.
I feel like if Joel really had Nina's best interest at heart, why did he not just tell her what he knew when she confronted him at school?
Well, remember, he told her to not pry open, you know, not go back to the past. So Joe, obviously, everybody in this town knows that there's more to the story, but he might have figured her ignorance is better. She's better off being ignorant.
Then I'm just curious what made that switch in his head to be like, oh, you know what? She needs to know this now. Instead of just like, you know what? I'll tell her tomorrow.
Well, we never know what he found. He could have found something. I mean, so let's go ahead and bring up Ellie, who we find kind of under
the porch.
The porch.
That's true.
He could have found something related to Ellie that maybe he didn't realize. I think it could have gone so many different directions. But before we just proclaim that Ellie's a murderer, do you guys think that she was just at the wrong place at the wrong time? Because it's not exactly, you know, we didn't watch her do it.
It's too big of a coincidence for her to be there. It's not like she and Joe had this relationship where they would see each other. Mm-hmm. You know, we've never seen both of them talk or interact in any way. So for her to be there the same night he gets killed, it's a little suspicious. Mm. I don't know. I think she did it.
and you know what? I wouldn't be able to make a prediction on that because, again, it can go either way. I'm fascinated by how understated every adult in this town is playing the we know more than we're going to believe. Mm-hmm. So that makes it a lot tougher. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for clues by seeing if I can see the actor behind the character.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to do that, which means...
They're amazing actors.
They're all
show.
Really good.
Yeah.
Well, so really quickly, Randall. So we finally find out that Uncle Duncan really doesn't remember anything, and now we know why, because we were introduced to yet another key, which could be either the plant or the flower key based on our research. Mm-hmm. But either way, we saw that his memories were buried, at least the chosen ones. And in that, we got to learn more about Randall. So what did you guys think of Randall and this depiction of him?
I was as shocked as the kids, honestly. Mm-hmm. I just never saw Randall as an evil person. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing in the flashbacks have ever given me the creeps about him. So to see that he, too, was, you know, kind of shady and a murderer like Ellie is really disappointing for me.
But what if he was under the influence of somebody or something else?
Ooh.
That's
a plot twist.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it just makes me think of all of his talks with Tyler. Part of me wonders if he was a young, for lack of a better word, jerk, and could see that Tyler was headed down that path, because we saw him trying to guide Tyler away from being this really mean jock. We saw him trying to get away from who he was in high school. So I wonder if he was a different guy in high school, if Randall was not this sweet, perfect dad that we knew. I mean, he was a great dad, but I just wonder if he had kind of a sordid past that we're going to find out about.
That's a really good, that would make sense for me, honestly, because in his adulthood, he seems like very, you know, sheltered, and he wants to protect his kids and he cares about his family, but we don't know what's in his past. Also, he ran away from his hometown, so something must have happened there. Yeah, I don't know.
I guess time will tell. Yeah. We'll find out all the details. I already put out there what I think happened with Ellie, but that covers our coverage for tonight's episode. So next up, we have our special segment led by Miss Janice.
Yes, guys. Welcome back to Locked In, our special segment where we talk about what we would use the keys for. So this episode, we found the music box key that allows you, the beholder, to control any person you wish. So I want to ask you guys a question. If you found the music box key, what would you do with it? If you can control anyone to do something for you, what would you do?
I would get people to use turn signals. It's a real thing.
I like
it. It's a real thing because turn signals have a purpose. It allows the person behind you to adjust their
speed. I have to admit, I sometimes ignore it. Then I catch myself and I'm like, Janice, come on, come on. I know it's important, but sometimes I'm just like so tired when I'm driving. I'm just like, there's no one on the street. Why am I
doing? Wait, so you're driving and the, to you is the...
I don't do it when there's a lot of cars on it. If there's like traffic, I do it. But if I'm just driving down the street like late at
night
and there's no one else, I'm just like, there's no one else. Why am I who am I signaling to?
That's
but I know
fair.
I should.
Don't, it's practice. That's it's practice to it make is. Sure you know
I
how
I know
to
it's d- bad.
That's fair. There's no one
I
else
should do
harmed.
It more. I should do it and, more. I should.
And following along, I was actually thinking similar thing. Mm-hmm. I think it should teach people how to use Waze or Google Maps because the number of people that cross two or more lanes because they realize their off-ramp or turn was right there is really amazing. And so that would be what I would use the key for.
I will say, in their defense, sometimes Waze does not give you enough of a heads up.
Yeah.
I will say that. But I get where you're coming from because they are cutting off everybody, potentially causing accidents in doing so.
Now, if they're using their turn signal while they're crossing three lanes,
that could help.
That would that could help.
You know, at least let everyone else know what's going on.
But you know what?
I'll be better. Yeah. I'll be better. But, I promise.
But I wouldn't want anybody in particular. I don't think I'm at the age where I'm like, I want my wife or my parent. You know, maybe when I was a kid, I'd want my brother to treat me nicer. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
Yeah. For me, I think I'd make everyone say hello to people they pass on the street because I'm someone who likes to say hi, you know, even if I don't know you. Like, hi, you know, it's just nice to say hi to strangers. So if everyone in the world said hi to everyone, I feel like it'd just be a better world.
See, we're all such kind-hearted human beings.
We are.
We're not out here being vengeful. Mm-hmm.
We're trying to be better. We're trying.
Trying to be better.
Yeah. That wraps up our special segment.
Woo-hoo. Thank you. Yeah. All right, guys. Next up, we have news and gossip with Lauren.
Hello, everybody. Here's our news. So there's a picture we're going to put up of... Oh, wait. I forgot. Oh, my gosh. I totally forgot we have an intro. All right. So now that we got that out of the way, my apologies to Control Room. So Halea Jones, who plays Eden Hawkins, actually last week I showed a picture, and there's a picture of her from the show. She posted on Instagram a behind-the-scenes video that
That's
will
really
play
cool.
that shows her in the scene when she was puppeteered. This was kind of a music box, the music box moment when Kinsey and Gabe were controlling her. She's jumping on the table. I thought that was pretty interesting, and we're going to see that right now where we get to see a little bit of her movement. Yeah. And you think about acting, you think about learning lines or learning how to cry, but there are times when you need to learn how to move in a specific and safe way. Here's some
of that. I think they actually used the choreographer to help her with this. She's amazing.
Wow.
Nice, keep going. Swim. Swimming.
And you can see in the background that statue. Remember in the video, we see her making out with the statue. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty amazing when an actor has to come into... do kind of this stunt work or body movement. So that's Halea Jones, who plays Eden Hawkins. And then last week I had a picture from the red carpet at the Egyptian Theater. It was a picture of Halea, but I misidentified it as Amelia Jones, who plays Kinsey. So I apologize, but it was lovely to see all of them at the Egyptian Theater for the red carpet. And that is the news.
Thank you, Lauren. She's so good. And I love to see young actors who are really honing their craft. I think that's so important. Mm-hmm. So that scene was thebomb.com. Low-key.
It really was.
All right, guys. So let's get into some predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I don't have any.
All right. There's so many options.
I know. Maybe you guys started off.
Yeah,
I have an idea about this flower key or plant key. And I kind of alluded to it and thought about it, knowing the comic series a little bit. We just saw the flower key bring up memories.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming the key going in again will make the memories go away or get planted. So I'm wondering if they might plant somebody else's memories will get planted or unearthed pretty much because we're basically discovering what everybody knows. So I'm thinking that key's got to be used again to unearth somebody else's memories.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
What happens if you open the jar? We don't know if something happens with the memories. Mm-hmm. We've never seen them fly out.
Yeah. Maybe they go back to the owner. I don't know.
Ooh.
They could. I thought it was interesting that all the memories we saw were Uncle Duncan's. I don't know if that's by accident or if there's a specific reason why he's the one whose memories we saw. I will say that I'm not sure if Ellie is a murderer. I think that she and Nina got there at the same time that she arrived as he was discovering something. I think we haven't seen or heard from Echo in this episode or Sam. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if it could have been either of them. Yeah. I also think that Rendell, like I said earlier, I think that Rendell wasn't perfect. And perhaps some of his decisions caught up with him. And that led to his demise and, the demise of his friends. So,
interesting.
Yeah. Does that,
very good one.
Does that inspire you, Janice?
For some reason, I saw the memories as time capsules for some reason. I was like, maybe it's just, you know, a record of time that's passed. I didn't quite see them as actual memories, but I was wrong. Let's just go ahead and say Duncan is going to get his memories back in the next episode. I don't know. That's my prediction.
That's fair. It could happen. You never know with these things. It could go in a myriad of directions. But that's all for tonight's show, guys. Where can we find you on social media?
You can find me at Lauren Kling on Instagram at LorenKling. Also on Schitt's Creek. We're in the middle of season 6 here at AfterBuzz TV. We record on Tuesdays at 9 o'clock, so join me on YouTube.
Cool beans.
It's a really good show. You can find me on Instagram at NyamJanice, NyamJanice. And I'm also on the Briar Patch after show, and we film on Sunday, so check us out.
You guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at PrincessCTV. I'm also on the All Rise After Show, and we shoot on Mondays. See you guys tomorrow. Bye.
See you tomorrow.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.